you Becklin!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Oh, what a save by Blackwood!
As the official marketplace of the Sharks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Classic shoots, and he scores!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Score! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
We're down to a minute 28 remaining in the third. Five, make that six forwards on the ice. Uh-oh, trouble. Celebrini tripped a bit down of Stone. Empty net for Hurdle. Score! So Celebrini loses it to Mark Stone. Stone, the captain of the Vegas Golden Knights, pokes it off to his right. And there he is, wearing number 48 for the visiting team, Tomas Hurdle, putting it into the empty net to make it 4-2 Vegas with only a minute 20 to go.
Yeah, I think they're the best team in the league right now. They're a Huzz team for sure. They'll be there at the very end, extremely structured. You know, they do things shift after shift after shift, game after game. That's extremely consistent. That's obviously a really good team over there. That's, been the kind of a measuring stick in a lot of ways these last couple of years.
All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? We are waking up on a Wednesday morning after a loss to Vegas that was not the worst loss of the year for San Jose, but I think you walk away from that one thinking that you had opportunities and that overall those opportunities were marred by a lackluster intensity throughout the entirety of this game. It's good to see William Eklund getting his game going again after being injured. You love the fact that both Eklund and Tim Liljegren scored on the power play because the Sharks' power play has not been great lately. I think you appreciate the fact that Georgiev put up a really good performance for San Jose. I think the fact that he gave up one goal on a breakaway rush that was not on him, and the other one came on a power play. There's really only one goal that you want back from him in this game, and that would be the second goal where I thought it was a bit soft, but the other two were not on him, and he had a remarkable second period in which I believe he made 18 saves while Vegas was peppering San Jose with shots. But you know, this was a game where the Sharks just did not have the intensity from the get-go. They were not flat like they were in the games against Calgary or Philadelphia, but it just felt like they were a step behind all day, all night long. And I think that that's something that you compare to the better teams in the league. Vegas is going to make you look like you are a step behind because they are arguably the best team in the league right now, or certainly the best team in the West, and most definitely in the Sharks division of the Pacific. So you are going to be put against the best teams in the NHL, and you should measure yourself against the best. The Sharks aren't there right now. Now, granted, you don't have Jake Walman in the lineup. That would have given you a little bit more offensive presence, but everybody in the league is dealing with injuries at all times. And I think San Jose, at this point, they are very good at riding momentum in games. They are very good at, you know, jumping out to a lead and, you know, playing against teams that are not as good. And that's not to take anything away from Tampa or from New Jersey, but you know, I think Vegas right now is such a complete team that when you are a team like the Sharks, it's very hard to take advantage of some of the things that are going to be offered to you over the course of the game, because the margin for error from Vegas is so extreme compared to your own. And then when they do give up opportunities, the door closes after opening so quickly compared to even Tampa and New Jersey right now. So for San Jose, I don't hate this game overall. I just see a lack of drive and desire throughout the entirety that really, I think, kept them from being more in control of this game. But I also acknowledge that Vegas does that to a lot of teams. Now, the early deficit is one that really changed where this game was going. You get pinned in your own end early on. I think that took a little bit of the wind out of the Sharks' sails, and that's what Vegas does. They will keep you in your own end and they will pepper you with shots. But, you know, suddenly you're down 1-0 in this game. And then quickly after that, you're down 2-0. That's going to put you in a position where you're not feeling great, where you're not really, you know, able to get your momentum going. you know, you get a goal at 8:39. It's 1-0 Mark Stone. And then, you know, less than 2 minutes later, you're down 2-0. And suddenly this game feels like it can get out of hand. But I actually, at that point, you're already giving Georgiev credit for making some big stops in that first period. It could have gotten worse in the first period, and it most definitely could have gotten even worse in the second period. So you get yourself a little bit of momentum, but it's, to me, that lack of intensity and not being ready for the force with which Vegas was going to come at you. That is where San Jose was lacking in this game. If they make those improvements, if they give themselves greater opportunities going forward, yeah, that's what you want to see. You want to see them not have that same start to a game. But in this one, they just didn't have it early on against Vegas. If you get down 2-0, it's going to be hard to get back into it. I don't think that's some, you know, wild take. I think that's just how it is in the NHL right now. A good team gets a lead. Yeah, you might have an epic comeback, but against a really good team, you're going to have a hard time creating that momentum. I think about some of the Sharks' comebacks in the last couple of years. They had an incredible comeback to get their first win this year against Utah. They were down 4-1. I think about the incredible comeback they had against Detroit last year. They were down 4-0. Yeah, those are not top-tier upper echelon teams. If you're going to have a remarkable game start to finish against a team like Vegas, then it's got to be just that, start to finish. The Sharks, with the lack of intensity out the gate, the early deficit, and the fact that the only thing that was really going over the course of this game was their power play, was not going to give them the great game that they needed through 60 minutes, which, to their credit, was what they did against Tampa and New Jersey. But you might just say that Vegas is that much better than even those two teams. William Eklund was able to get his scoring game going, and you always like to see Eklund going. He loves that drop to a knee shot, which is especially timely on the power play. But obviously, coming off of injury, it seems like he was recapturing his game. He looked like he had some good jump in his step all throughout this game. And, you know, I love that William Eklund has the ability to create time and space for his teammates, but I also love his aggression with his shot. And he had about 5 shots overall through the game. That's much more than anyone else had. And I think that's something that San Jose did a very, very poor job of in this game, was creating shots. They had 12 through the first period. Then they only had 10 for the rest of the game, and that's simply not good enough. You need to keep that shot clock up. If you've got 12 through the first period, you're on pace for 36. You need to stay at that pace, especially with an early deficit. Again, credit to Vegas for keeping you off the board, but that's something that San Jose needs to work on. But to see William Eklund get going again, that's one of two big pieces that have been missing, with him and Wallman out. But, you know, obviously Eklund back in the lineup, he's getting his game back. Now you need to get Wallman back in the game and really see what he can bring. Georgiev had what I felt was, you know, one of his better performances with San Jose after the game. There was talk about it being his best game with San Jose, considering how many saves he made, considering the way he was peppered with shots, considering the way that San Jose was, you know, kind of pinned in their own end for a while. Yeah, there's a good argument that it was his best game, even in the way of a loss. And really, of the 3 goals that he allowed, only the second one am I really looking at and saying, eh, he should have stopped that. But this is what Thomas Speer can do. And I think that what we've seen with other goalies that Speer's had the ability to work with, whether it be, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood, whether it be Vitek Vanacek, it seems like Speer is a bit of a goalie whisperer. And we are even hearing from Georgiev that he thinks that Speer is a tremendous goalie coach. And that's exactly what you want to hear, because not every goalie is going to be at the peak of their game when a team is acquiring them. But I do think Georgiev gets too hard of a time from people overall. And I think there's still a lot of ability and overall just, you know, future in his career. I think that the defense in Colorado was not perfect for what he was trying to be as a goalie. And I think that many goalies, they get a little bit rattled throughout their career. Their confidence starts to fade, and that affects every other aspect of that game. You have yesterday's situation against Vegas, in which there's an early goal off a, you know, breakaway that, okay, you know, you would have loved to stop there. I'm not denying it, but that's not a great situation to put your goalie in. The second goal, yeah, probably should have stopped that. But after that, he kept the Sharks in the game, and it wasn't until a power play goal early in the third period that Vegas got their third. You know, I was saying before the game that if Georgiev can keep it to 3, the Sharks have an opportunity in this game. And ultimately, the Sharks did have an opportunity in this game. But I think that with Georgiev, you get more starts out of him, you're going to see him in one of these 2 back-to-back. Get him playing at a high level once again. I think that's one of the keys for San Jose as they get deeper and deeper into this season. I think that Spear, as a coach, has the ability to talk to guys about basics, to make things uncomplicated, and to calm down their mind while they're playing. And that was something that I even saw yesterday from Georgiev. After the two goals early on, I think that he was a little bit, I don't want to say panicky, but I think just a little bit flustered. He was moving a lot in front of the net, and I think sometimes he gets a little bit, you know, overactive. And then suddenly it seemed like in the second period, he just locked in, and he was much more smooth with his movements, and he was much more, just overall emphatic about where he was going to go. He was not leaving the net open. He was moving back and forth with purpose, and I think that that's something that you like to see. I think you can watch him at times, and he gets a little bit of two minds of where he wants to be in terms of his positioning, and that changed very, very quickly. It was like as soon as I noticed he was doing it, because I've seen him do it in other games, he stopped doing it. And that, to me, is being aware of some of the things he's learning and being able to apply it in real time. Because you think about a goalie who's made it to the NHL. There's certain things they have done over the entirety of their career that they feel get them there. And I think the hardest thing for a coach is to get an athlete to understand, I know what has gotten you to this point, but we need to change that because it's not having the same impact that it did previously in your career. And for many athletes, I imagine that's a tough pill to swallow. But it seems like what Spear is able to do is to get these guys to view it in a different light as opposed to changing what they have been doing. It's about accentuating or, you know, really working on what they do so well to make them be the type of goalie they're capable of being overall. And Georgiev spoke in the post game about, you know, looking at some basic stuff. And I think that means he's not trying to make radical wholesale changes with their games. He's trying to say, okay, what are you doing that is maybe giving up space? Whereas these other aspects of your game, your reaction time, your vision, those things, that's going to be there no matter what. But what are the other things you can do over the course of 60 minutes that you're maybe wasting energy, that you're maybe not giving yourself as much of an opportunity? I think those are the things that Spear is really understanding because, I remember talking to Mackenzie Blackwood about this, and I believe Vitek Vanacek, is that, you know, they're not trying to change their entire game. They're trying to solidify what they've done so well up to this point. So for Spear, he's able to sell that in a certain way that's able to help guys recapture their game. And honestly, I'm excited to see the next game from Georgiev because I do feel like there was significant improvement compared to the last time we saw him, not just in the goals allowed, but just in the way that he was moving in front of the net, just in the way he was working back and forth. To me, that's exactly what you want to see. You want to see improvement from one game to the next. You want to see them be able to show that they are learning and the situation in San Jose is a good one. But thanks to Georgiev's exploits, particularly in the second period, San Jose had the ability to get back in this game despite being down 2-0 about halfway through the first period. Halfway through the second, William Eklund gets the Sharks on the board, and the power play overall looks significantly better than it has as of late. And the power play is such a extreme point of frustration for me because the Sharks do have very positive high-level skill players out there on the ice on both units of the power play. It just seems disjointed. The way that they move the puck, the way that they find guys in space, the way that they sometimes, you know, don't always have the entry with speed that they want to. The Sharks' power play lately has just looked, you know, disjointed, discombobulated, out of sync, whatever term of that nature you want to apply to it. That's what I feel like we've seen. But last night, things just seem a little bit more calm overall. Things just seemed a little bit more in sync. And so I think that's something that San Jose needs to focus on going forward is just be a little bit more calm. Don't try and force things. Don't try and, you know, slip a pass through three defenders. Don't try and, you know, make things difficult on yourself. Make things easy on yourself. And again, with the players that San Jose have, I feel that they should be that much better than what they've been able to do on the power play as of late. But, you know, last night you saw an extreme correction versus what had happened on the most recent power plays we'd seen where things just looked a little bit more in sync and a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more effective. The Sharks went 2-for-2 on the power play. It's not going to be like that every night, but it shows how important being opportunistic is for San Jose. If you get those opportunities, if you move the puck, if you create space, make sure you get that shot off. Make sure you find the open man. Timothy Liljegren being aggressive when he gets the puck. Love to see it. William Eklund with a no-doubter and dropping to a knee. He saw it the entire way. He was going to go for goal. You know, I talk about this a lot. You don't want to just be that guy that screams shoot, but it's felt like that sometimes with San Jose this year, where you do need to be the guy who yells shoot. And yesterday they took advantage of it. They found two power play goals in a game. They were down 2-0 early on. They were able to use those to get back into the game each time. It's 2-0, then it's 2-1, then it's 3-1, then it's 3-2. They gave themselves a chance to get back in the game using the power play, and that's exactly what it's for. When the game affords you opportunities, you need to be opportunistic. San Jose was able to take advantage of that, and it's something that I hope they will continue to do going forward. Learn lessons even out of a loss. What did the power play do well? They were not cautious. They were not overly aggressive. They were not reckless. They were simple. And I think sometimes keeping it simple, stupid, KISS, as we like to say, or as Drew Remenda likes to say, works so well that we don't give it enough credit. Simplicity, for some reason in our society, gets criticized, especially the sporting society. We want to see the next level tactics, the X's and O's that change everything. Sometimes it is just as simple as being careful with where you're putting the puck, not turning it over and moving it until you create space, or being aggressive when you do have a little bit of space, make the defense react. It does look that simple at times, and I'm glad San Jose was able to take advantage. But you look over the course of this game, and again, Vegas had greater pushback. Vegas had greater physicality. Vegas had better speed. They're a heavier, harder, stronger, faster team than where San Jose is right now, or at least faster in the critical moments and critical situations. And that was the difference in this game, that they are a very good team. You don't want to deny what they are. It's just a matter of San Jose being able to recognize what they needed to do better in terms of meeting that intensity, especially early on, that Vegas was able to bring to the table. If they can do that, then they can give themselves a better chance in most games. Again, Vegas, they do it to a lot of teams right now, but San Jose needs to be ready for the quality of a team like Vegas. All right, let's get into some of the highlights out of this game, like Georgiev making some big saves early on for San Jose.
Zach Whitecloud across the line, carries in, drop pass, Olofsson shot, save made, rebound, save, another stop by Georgiev, off Houghton on the rebound. That's some great goaltending right there by Alexander Georgiev as the crowd reacts to it here at the Shark Tank.
And I do think that for a goalie, just to get a big save like that early on can help settle you in, especially when Vegas early in the game was keeping San Jose pinned in their own end. There were moments early in the game where it looked like Vegas was on the power play against San Jose, but you could see early on that Georgiev was able to get locked in, and sometimes when a goalie is tested early on, that sets up for success later in the game. Sharks are down 2-0 halfway through the second. Power play opportunity. William Eklund gets San Jose back into this game.
Zetterlund keeps it in, flings it around near boards. Wenberg backhands to Mukko Madulin on the point. One touches to Wenberg, walks to the circle, feet side of the goal in front. Eklund shoots, score! So Wenberg gets it down low to Colin Graf. He didn't waste any time to put it in front, and William Eklund banged it top corner. That's a beautiful goal for William Eklund on the power play at 9:49 of the second. It gets the Sharks back into the game. The score is Vegas 2, San Jose 1.
A 2-1 score line is very different than a 2-0 score line, and that was big for San Jose to breathe life into their game. Suddenly they were able to find themselves within a one-goal deficit that gave them the ability to really play with that much more confidence. But you give credit every single time to a team like Vegas. They draw a penalty at the end of the second period, and then early in the third, they're able to make good on it, making it a 3-1 lead and extending their lead back to two goals. San Jose would keep fighting, however, as Tim Liljegren on the power play keeps San Jose alive, getting them a second goal and making it once again a one-score difference.
Eklund and Liljegren exchange. Liljegren backskates to the left circle, shoots one, score! Tim Liljegren put it top corner, and that ricocheted right out, but the referee immediately says it's in the net. That's a huge goal for the Sharks at 10 minutes and 43 seconds of the third period. It makes the score Vegas 3 and the Sharks 2.
San Jose kept pushing from that point on. I liked a lot of what I saw in their game, but they did not have the ability to cut it to a 3-3 game. Even with the empty net, they had their opportunities. And this is actually, you know, one of the issues I had with San Jose throughout this game is that, you know, they gave themselves the opportunity to cut it to a 2-1 game and then a 3-2 game. And they just did not have the shot volume that I would have liked overall. 22 shots did not make the opposition work hard enough, even though they had an early deficit, even though they did get themselves back to it. They just were never able to make the ice tilted towards Vegas's end. and really make it feel, even with the extra attacker, like they were going to get that game-tying goal. And so for San Jose, I think shot volume is something they need to work on. Again, William Eklund had the greatest shot volume last night. He comes up with a goal. That should not surprise you. You need to be shooting. You need to be going. You need to be making things happen. And it was Tomáš Hertl who did make things happen for Vegas on the empty net to seal it for the Golden Knights.
We're down to a minute, 28 remaining in the third. Five, make that six forwards on the ice. Uh-oh, trouble. Celebrini tripped a bit down of Stone. Empty net for Hertl. Star! So Celebrini loses it to Mark Stone. Stone, the captain of the Vegas Golden Knights, pokes it off to his right. And there he is, wearing number 48 for the visiting team, Tomáš Hertl, putting it into the empty net to make it 4-2 Vegas with only a minute 20 to go.
I feel like that was something that Tomáš Hertl did for San Jose so many times to bury that empty netter that it's always a little bit weird when you see him do it against San Jose. But Tomáš Hertl, he clearly knows how to get it done in the NHL. All right, let's get into some of this post-game sound from head coach Ryan Warsofsky. We're also going to get to some interview time that I was able to do on Monday that you may not have heard as of yet. But this is what Warzo had to say after the game.
Yeah, it's good. Power play was the only thing that was good tonight.
And that's a good thing to hear, relatively speaking, considering how the power play had looked lately. But yeah, the power play was able to be effective in this game. They had two opportunities. They scored two goals, two big goals that got San Jose within one from two-goal deficits. It shows you how important it is to not go down 2-0 in a game, but also it shows you how important it is to make the most of your power play when you do have those advantages. But yes, that was about the only positive that you can take away from this game other than Alexander Georgiev. But Warsofsky just did not like much of what he saw throughout this game.
Be ready to start from puck drop, you know, and puck play was soft. We didn't execute. We were soft to play against in front of our net, just not physical enough.
And this is something that San Jose needs to figure out, because in certain games, they are ready from puck drop. Other games, it takes them a while to get into the game. And I think if we look back at recent games for San Jose, yes, they definitely had it in the games against Tampa and against New Jersey. They were looking to snap that slide. But we go back to last week, and you look at the way that they played on New Year's Eve against the Flyers. That was a very, very flat performance. You look at the way they played on the 28th of December against Calgary. That was a flat performance. And I think the Sharks need to go back and figure out what they're doing so well from the emotional side of things to be more connected early in the game. And I also think you need to separate the emotion from it. You need to just be able to draw upon that quick acting ability early in games and get yourself ready to go, no matter whether or not the crowd is juiced or regardless of whether or not you feel great. That's what the best teams in the NHL do so well, is the consistency, start to finish, night in, night out. They don't need to be riding a wave of emotion. They just go out there and take care of business. And I know that because I used to watch the Sharks do it, where they were not playing their best game, but they still took care of what they needed to do to get the win. And yes, they did have more talent overall. Talent helps. But also, the nights where the talent was not amazing, or the nights where they were going against, you know, great teams, they still were able to put in the hard work when other things were being shut down in their game. They had a plan B after their plan A.
Yeah, we stuck around. Power play did a good job of keeping us in the game and not letting it go, you know, totally out of control, as did Georgie. So, kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit tomorrow.
And I think Warsofsky does appreciate that San Jose still gave themselves a chance in this game. If you look at some of the earlier games against Vegas this year, they lost 7-3 and 6-3. In the most recent one, obviously, San Jose had a chance until they gave up two shorthanded goals in less than 30 seconds, and the game completely got out of hand at that point. And from that perspective, this is a big correction for San Jose, as they gave themselves a chance. But to be a good team in the NHL, it's not just about giving yourselves a chance. It's about being able to make the corrections so that you don't have to give yourselves a chance, so that you don't let a game get away from you the way this one did early on to put you in a 2-0 deficit. Now, it's great that the Sharks didn't get blown out. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you don't want to get down 2-0 before your team wakes up and starts giving themselves a chance in the game. San Jose is still a team where sometimes they do need a deficit to quote-unquote wake up and get themselves back into the game. Colin Graf had another nice game last night, where I really liked a lot of what he brought to the ice. He got an assist for a second consecutive game. That's points in two out of the three games he's played since coming up from the AHL. Here's what he had to say on Monday when I talked to him, starting off about asking him how much different his life was now compared to where it was a year ago.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think a year ago, we just hanging out at Quinnipiac, got a little thing called J-Term, so we got no classes. It's just the boys on campus, so just a lot of hanging out, and now it's in the NHL, so it's a big difference for sure.
And now you get to hang out with the dudes you were playing against last year, right?
Yeah, exactly. The guys I was game planning for, now I get to play with, so it's fun.
How cool was it the other night to combine on a goal with you getting it off the boards, putting it up to Will, and then he got it across to Macklin?
Yeah, great play by both those guys. Obviously, nice to play with them. They make a lot of skilled plays. So, but yeah, it was exciting for college hockey.
Yeah, for sure, man. And I think college hockey, obviously, guys like yourself, Will, Macklin, people are paying more and more attention. Is that pretty cool to see right now that more and more people are tuning in?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously growing up in Boston, you see it a lot. But I think for fans around the country and around the world, I think it's grown for sure. And a lot of high picks have been playing in college, and that just makes it much more entertaining.
So when you came to the Sharks at the end of last year, you got a few games in. You obviously, that's a lot for anybody to take in. You're coming right out of college, but you comported yourself well. And then this year with the Barracuda, obviously you've been playing very well. I was lucky enough to fill in for Noli and, you know, be there and call some games and watch you evolving. Obviously, a lot of offensive production. But right now, it does feel like you're a very different player compared to who you were a year ago in the NHL. So is that just a matter of time and getting used to things and developing your career as a professional? Or were there certain things that you worked on in the offseason that you took into this year?
Yeah, I think it's obviously just a little bit of maturity for sure. But I think that those seven games really gave me a good idea of what I had to work on. I think the biggest thing was pace of play and trying to play faster, whether it be skating or make quicker decisions and stuff like that. And I think that that's something that I thought I could really improve on in the last year. And I think I focused on that in the summer and tried to come into this year really focused on making plays fast and getting my pace of play up. Sorry.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I've watched you, especially with the Cuda and now with the Sharks. You're good down in the corner. You can go dig the puck out. A lot of guys, if they're as young as you are, they're not going to maybe have the gumption nor necessarily the strength and ability to go and wrestle the puck away from somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's just something that I've developed over a lot of years. Obviously, I grew up as a smaller guy, so I think that you had to know, where you were on the ice, your positioning and stuff like that. And I think that that's helped me a lot in terms of positioning in battles and stuff as I've gotten older.
As a last couple one for you here, what was the hardest part about playing against Will in college?
I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously we played him in the tournament, just the high stakes. I would say just his plays with the puck, his playmaking skills were just elite out there. Power play for sure. I think they had a couple on us in the power play, so but just his playmaking is elite.
What about Macklin playing against him?
Yeah, that was a good game. We actually I feel like I was out there every shift against him at BU. That time that was annoying. So his speed, his plays with the puck, same idea, playmaking, his shots really a threat. Then again, the power play is elite.
And that Henry Thrun, he's a real jerk, right?
Yeah, yep. Quinnipiac beat Harvard. Not a big deal. OT.
Right on, Graf. I appreciate you, man. We'll talk soon.
Yep, thank you.
Henry Thrun may have been hanging out around the interview room, so we had some fun and gave him a hard time there at the end. And those guys from that part of the country, they will all give each other a lot of guff when it comes to their relative collegiate programs that they played for. But just speaks to the good vibes that are going on in San Jose after a couple wins. That was on Monday when I spoke with Colin. So yeah, obviously a little bit more positive that day than it was probably this morning. But at the same time, the Sharks are showing growth. They are showing ability. It's hard to compare it against a team like Vegas because Vegas is so good and they will show you every single flaw that is within your game. And San Jose learned a hard lesson in this game going against Vegas. And I think that is just be ready from puck drop. You got to be ready the minute things are going on in this game. And San Jose has to learn that lesson. It's something that I think that they will continue to improve upon. But it's not just about the emotion. It's not just about the momentum. It's being businesslike in their approach. Be ready from the start of the game. But 2 points from Eklund. More points from Colin Graf, right? He gets another assist. Those are things that you want to see. Eklund, you felt his absence. He's starting to get going. Colin Graf, he has a lot of ability. I don't know how long he's sticking around, but I think he's showing that his game is growing and he can be a big-time contributor for the Sharks as he continues to grow into that game. He hasn't played that many games in the NHL. I think we all like what we are seeing. All right, we'll be back with you on Friday as we are going to be in Utah. The Sharks go back out on the road. The first night of a back-to-back before they're back on Saturday to host Minnesota. So we will see you then. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Nicholson keeps it in, flings it around ear boards. Wenberg backhands to Bufo Madulin on the point. One touches to Wenberg, walks to the circle, feet side of the goal in front. Eklund shoots, score! So Wenberg gets it down low to Colin Kraft. He didn't waste any time to put it in front. And William Eklund banged it top corner. That's a beautiful goal for William Eklund on the power play.